surfer girl. My little surfer girl. I have watched you from the shore, standing by the ocean wall. Do you love me, art house listeners? Ooh, baby, can't you get into it? Oh, it could be the weed talking, but it's the Beach Boys. How could you not be happy listening to this? It makes you feel like you're at the beach with nakedness and sandwiches and water. Oh, God, it sounds so good. I wonder if they call them sandwiches because you traditionally eat them at the beach where there's sand and the sand gets into your sandwich. Is that how it started? I'm not sure, but I think I might be onto something there. These soothing sounds are the backdrop for Art House Radio, episode number 26. How are you? Are you okay? You should be fine. If you're not, you should do what I'm doing and smoke a joint and then listen to the Beach Boys. Oh, it's so fabulous. The harmonies. Oh, they're killing me right now. They're just killing it. The Beach Boys are killing it here in Lansing, Michigan. Spring 2016. I love spring. Don't you just love it? Somebody said to me the other day, spring makes me wild. Oh, get wild for spring. Can't you feel it? I'm going to calm down a little bit and just relax because I don't want to kill this good vibe that we've got going on. Good vibrations. Should I have said good vibrations? You know, when you listen to the Beach Boys, you have to think of two things. The beach, yes, but California. Isn't it just Californian? And it got me thinking, what is California? It used to be this symbol, right, of a fresh start. Everybody wants a fresh start. I mean, well, not everybody, but at some point in their lives, they're looking for it. And California used to be that. Is it still that? I don't know. I mean, it used to be that you could just go out there and, you know, enjoy the warmth, and there were always PBRs around, or Miller High Life, sometimes known as the Cadillac of beers. The Cadillac of beers. You think it's the champagne of beers, but did you know Cadillac of beers is sort of like an American idiom, maybe a Michigan idiom. Cadillac of beers. It's the car state, right? We invented the car. Sorry about that, everybody. Sorry. But this is the car state, so it's the Cadillac of beers. We're just going to go with that. I sort of lost my train of thought there. Oh, California, right. A place where you could go and start over and just enjoy the weather and be alive and get high like Spicoli. And just all you needed was a tasty wave and a cool buzz and you'd be fine, right? Well, maybe that's all you need. But I don't know what California is anymore. Specifically California, it's kind of brown. Not a whole lot of water. Got some work to do on that, California. You should link up with Michigan. 75% of the U.S. fresh water supply is in the Great Lakes. 33% of the world. Oh, no, sorry. Maybe just under 30%. Still. Yeah, a lot of you are going to be buddying up. Like, hey, buddy. How about a drink of water? Oh, you look good. Those new shoes. Yeah, we're going to hear a lot of that the next 100 years. Better start laying the foundation right now, motherfuckers. Because it's going to be on. Oh, look, listen to me ramble on. Symbols, that's what we're talking about today. What do they mean? Not just for a country, but what about a community? Is there something symbolic in the community that represents hope, entertainment, leisure time? I kind of got into that this episode with Santos Ramos. He came over. We took a trip to El Oasis. It's a food truck that's really close to my house. Sometimes he comes over. Today he brought a guitar. We sang some songs. It was great. And, you know, we just walked over, got some Mexican food, came back, and then started talking about symbols. Specifically, there's a symbol in a little known city called Battle Creek, Michigan. What is Battle Creek, Michigan? Well, it gave you cereal. So you should be happy about that if you like cereal. If you hate cereal, then you should not be happy about that. For the rest of you who do, you're welcome. Very welcome. There's a little downtown there and a little brewing company named Arcadia Brewing. And don't lose interest. I know, Netherlands, I see you with the 9% of downloads. And you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Why do I care about Battle Creek? It's a terrible Dutch accent, but I promise I'll work on it. You tell a specific story, and then sometimes it appeals to a wider audience because there are parallels. So, here's the story. This brewing company started back in 1996, right? Microbrews weren't a big thing back then. I think Bell's in Kalamazoo and maybe one or two in the Pacific Northwest of the country had a few, like Weinhardt maybe, or Sierra Nevada. I can't remember. So it wasn't a big thing. And Arcata came in right after that, 1996. I was there, right? Big things of microbrews just being thrown down my microbrew hole. I can't talk today. It's probably the weed. Anyway, there's this thing downtown called the Renaissance Zone. And the Renaissance Zone was supposed to stimulate businesses or like business activity, encourage businesses to start up. And basically it meant you didn't have to pay any taxes. Now, Arcata was in that zone and they haven't been paying taxes. So fast forward 20 years later and it looks like they're still not paying taxes. And in fact, in some ways, if this is correct, not paying rent either. You see, there's this thing in Battle Creek. It's an organization and they own the building. And so there's been a little bit of a public squabble, letters written in the local paper about who's right and who's wrong. Somebody's not paying rent and other people saying, well, they're the staple of the community, a symbol, if you will. According to the organization that owns the building, the current lease, as they say, they're giving it to them. They offered it to them at half the market rate. Arcata apparently hasn't paid rent since October 2014. That's a long time. And I have to tell you, if you're a business and you're in some place where you're conducting business and you're not paying rent and you're not paying repairs, and again, if this article is correct, if you're not doing all those things, then you're basically squatting, aren't you? And businesses squatting, I don't know, not a big fan, for one reason, because you're sort of getting all that money and you're not pumping it back into the community. Yes, you're giving them a good time, a place to go, beer, but it's not free beer, and if you're not paying taxes, you're not really contributing anything. Now, that's not to say that they don't contribute to charities. I have no idea. They might. The point of this show that we wanted to talk about was to, I just wanted to set up what Santos and I would be discussing. Because we grew up there, we thought it was an interesting thing to talk about, and so we did. And we had some lunch at El Oasis, and then we talked about it. And this is what you're going to hear. This is episode number 26 of Art House Radio. Don't forget to write to me at Spanish Peanuts or on Facebook at Art House 43. What is Art House 43? It's the organization of mine, which puts on arts events and things like this podcast. Art House Radio is a love child of Art House 43. I don't know who got Art House 43 pregnant to have that baby. Maybe it was me. Somebody did, and this is what happened. So check it out. Leave me some comments. Write to me. Go to troymeetsworld.com. That's my personal website, and you can send me stuff. And I'm getting emails. I'm getting people posting on Art House 43's wall. That's great. That's fantastic. Let me hear some more. In fact, I've got an idea for a show. Here's what I need you to do. I would love for you to go either to Twitter at Arthouse 43 or at Spanish Peanuts or Arthouse 43 on Facebook or TroyMeetsWorld.com. Those are a lot of things to write down. I apologize for giving you so many options. I'm just thinking of you. I'm trying to make things accessible here. I would love if you went to any of these sites and told me about your first interaction with classical music. This is for a future episode. Just as best you can remember. And if you don't remember, make one. Put it something on now. Whatever you think you might like or you might enjoy or just want to do it randomly. Have it. Have that interaction. and then post something and tell me what you think. Tell me what goes through your mind. What are you listening to? What do you hear? What do you like? What don't you like? Be honest. Be real. This show tries to be real. So I want you to be real. If you hate it, say why. Or just tell me that you hated it and that you don't need to tell me why, because you don't need to explain yourself like you're a 17th century French king or queen. And that's fine. Whatever. And I would like to read some of them on the air and talk about it. And then maybe that'll start a dialogue going. So that's for a future episode. Sorry, I had to plug that. Now, let's just cue some music. We'll get over with say goodbye to the Beach Boys here. And we'll get into my episode, my conversation, my lunch with Santos Ramos. This is episode number 26 here of Art House Radio. Santos and I are headed to El Oasis. We're in Lansing. We're walking down to the food truck. This is exciting stuff. Exciting stuff here.
It's a staple.
It's a staple. It's a food truck close to my house. I live over in Lansing. I'm not going to tell you what street in case there's any freaks out there listening to this, showing up to my house. And yeah, it's springtime. Supposed to be 58 today, but it doesn't feel 58 as we were saying. And already this is exciting. The people are
on the edge of their seats.
They're on the edge of their seats. They can't wait to see what happens. What will we order at El Oasis?
But I think it's interesting. We were talking about whether we wanted to sit down and do this after, or do it on our way walking. And probably just because I've been reading this lately, but it's on my mind. But there's a theorist named De Certeau. I think he's a French theorist. But he writes a lot about walking. He writes about cities. He has one, I think it's a chapter in his book, or maybe an essay called Walking in the City. But he just talks about how the way we design cities aren't really always necessarily built for people. So we like the routes that we choose to take and the way that we interact with that city sort of reshapes and we repurpose it for our own reasons that shape our own lives. To give another example of that, he talks about how American Indians had like lots of customs and belief systems forced upon them. They had no other choice but to accept some of those systems, like Christianity, for example.
Right. Like in schools when they would force them to learn prayers and...
Yeah, and force natives into boarding schools. So no other choice but to, in one sense, accept these systems, but a way of sort of surviving like some of the traditional knowledge is not necessarily by outright rejecting those systems, but by infusing them with traditional knowledges. So native people actually reshaping, like keeping the shell of Christianity, I think is how he describes it, and like infusing it with their own belief systems. So if you look at different formations of Christianity throughout the continent, it looks differently. Not that it doesn't also cause problems still, but, you know, that's a way of surviving anyway. So anyway, that's what I was thinking of, like how we sort of repurpose. We're walking through this. There's no path that we're walking on right now. We're sort of cutting through
lawns
because we know the area, like right. Between your house and the taco truck. So we're just sort of like repurposing it.
It's like when if you're a kid and you go into the woods or something, you can tell where people have ridden their bikes, trails, walked. Those are the paths. Those end up being the paths. Why not different areas?
Yeah. Precisely.
Well, this has been episode number 26. Yeah, I love the idea of walking around as some people are looking at us like, what are they doing? They see the microphone and they're thinking, they're recording something. But there must be people who would be interested in talking. This could get really embarrassing for a second. We're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
Are they open?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's having an interesting setup. We should take some pictures and post them to the Twitter, Art House Twitter or something like that.
I've been using Spanish Peanuts a lot. I use Art House 43, I have, but nobody ever participates with that
Spanish
one.
Spanish Peanuts, what?
Just at Spanish Peanuts.
Okay. Yeah, we'll post maybe some pictures from at Spanish Peanuts on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely. Some action photos.
Got to think about what we want.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with classic nachos here. Although it looks like it's slightly different now.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, this could take a second. We are looking at a menu of El Oasis right now. The tension is building. There are all kinds of things that we could be ordering. Big burritos. Nachos. Oh, nachos still there. Still there. Classic. Still there. Just nachos without meat. All right. Let's see.
I'm gonna go with the classic burrito.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do too. No, I lied. I'm gonna go nachos.
Can we get one large burrito de pollo?
Two burritos de pollo?
One.
One burrito de pollo, okay? Little tomato cheese everywhere.
Burrito de pollo?
Regular?
Could I have nachos? Vegetarian nachos?
Nachos?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What kind of meat?
No meat.
No meat.
No meat, just veggie.
Oh, veggie.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheese.
Cheese, good. Queso, yeah.
Cream, everything?
Yep, everything. Just no meat.
No
yeah,
meat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Interesting. So, food trucks in other parts of the world, food carts is what they call them. And I always wondered why they haven't exploded in the Midwest or in Michigan in particular yet, but maybe they will. I mean, this place is always popular. There's always a lot of people from the neighborhood. It's a good thing. It's like a community thing. It's like one of those things that brings people together. There must be a word for that. I don't know what it would be. A bonding thing?
What?
Something like a food truck functioning as like a community member that brings people into the same area where they can have discussions or conversations and
things like that. Yeah, sort of functions like that. But it's interesting being in Michigan because, I mean, for 5 months out of the year, people come up here in the middle of, snowstorms and all that. So it's kind of impressive for this place that people still come out then. But it creates a different dynamic because we can't sit out here at the picnic tables like 4 or 5 months out of the year, because it's too cold.
That's true. I wonder if there's an ancient version of the food truck. Like, do you think, like, I guess it's just like a... There probably was just, like, early restaurants. Like, if Native Americans were here, they probably had, like, Buffalo Wild Wings set up, the earliest version. It was, like, a little stand with some hot buffalo chicken wings. Let's talk about chicken wings. I don't understand why they're so popular. You could eat, like, 100 of them, and you never get full. You might as well just drink barbecue sauce. That's basically what you're going for, I think.
I feel like the meat is just, like, the buffer between you and the sauce.
I don't even know why it's... Well, I don't even know what they are. Is it, like, pigeon stuff? They're so small.
In Michigan, I think, traditionally, it's rat.
Rat, yeah. It's not good. Yeah, I don't know. They're always so small. I don't know. I liked them when I ate meat, but I don't... It was never that great. I don't know. Chicken wings. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pro.
Wow. Okay. All right. That's 1-4, 1 against. If you're keeping score at home, that is 1-1. So yeah, this is going nowhere. We are just standing out here talking. People are looking. I'd like to interact with people, but I'm not going to bother them while they're eating food, of course. Maybe this is something that could be a regular feature where we just walk around and talk with any willing participants and see what they're doing. That's how you get to know people.
Yeah.
Walking around with a microphone and shoving it in their face.
Yeah, podcast. It's the main way. Oh, what?
Nachos? Separate.
Separate?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got the nachos.
Yeah. Thank you. It's supposed to be warm today. I don't know why it's not warm. A couple weeks.
Any sauce for you?
Sure, both. Yeah, please. Thank you. Your hot sauce is pretty hot. Thank you.
I need charge 50 more cents.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Thanks. What are those? Those cookies? Oh. This is riveting radio right here. My card is being rung. Thank you. I hope it's coming through how polite I am on this thing. Gracias.
Do you need your pepper or
not? No, that's okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Chicken burrito?
Santos is getting his chicken burrito. We'll just see how this interaction goes. He looks all right. A little bit nervous. Not too bad. Hopefully he's got enough money. I am standing on Michigan Avenue, Michigan and Francis, I believe. And Michigan and Francis. And I wish that I was governor of this state because I would pave all these motherfucking roads. It's terrible. The people who live in these communities deserve way better. It's atrocious, and if Governor Snyder or any state representative listening to this in the state, you ought to be fucking ashamed of yourself. The fact that you haven't done anything to fix this is a ridiculous thing. It's almost criminal because you're losing so much money. Oh, there's Santos. He's got his chicken burrito. I was just talking about the roads here and how terrible they are. I rode my bike down Shiawassee Street earlier, which means nothing to most people listening to this. But I rode by the Lansing Market and Lansing Brewing Company, and the roads were so atrocious, and I thought, if you repave the roads and the sidewalks here, that is something that would give a huge lift to a state or a city that would, it's like if you're injured, if you have a knee injury and you kind of live with it for a few years and then the doctor fixes it and then you're like, whoa, this is normal? I didn't realize that this is what it was. I feel like better looking structure is something that Lansing or America, probably infrastructure, we're so used to the crumbling nastiness of it that we've probably forgotten what it's like to be a first world country. Whatever that means.
I was driving by a pothole the other day and I couldn't see the bottom of it. It's like just literally go to the center of the earth or...
It's like they're turning into sinkholes. And I don't know how you fix this, but you got to find a way. Just do it.
Speaking of potholes, as we were paying back there, and I was looking at my wallet to get out cash, I realized just how much money I'd actually spent at the bar on Saturday night. I was pretty amazed.
It's pretty amazing that if you think about cocktails in general, like $7 or $8, that's pretty, you can buy a fifth of not the best out liquor, but you can get a fifth.
Well, certainly the worst.
Certainly the worst. You could get a couple of them for $7 or $8. I guess you're just paying for the entertainment of being out in public, and you know.
You have no other choice because you're out in public.
Right, and there's peer pressure, social pressure. You don't want to look like somebody that's, you know, skimping out on the, trying to crush the good time.
Maybe you do, I don't know.
Maybe you do, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess you just got to make your own decisions. I hide behind the hipster move of saying, I'll just have a PBR and a well whiskey, but, you know, it kind of fits the budget as well.
Oh, that's a good move, though. And it also just depends on how much you can buy expensive whiskey, cheap whiskey.
Yeah, cheap whiskey, cheap beer, it works out well, I think. All right, so we're crossing over Foster Street. Now you know how to get there, in terms of
streets,
the streets you're hearing. I say we'll wrap this adventure up for now, and then, unless you want to just listen to me eat chips, I think they probably do.
Again, I think that's technically porn.
It's food porn. And yeah. So that's it for episode 26. Make sure to donate to the show. Go to Joy Beats World at arthouse43.com. Click on donate and then make a donation. I mean, what really? Look at what you're getting for your money. Listening to us go get lunch. This is America. Welcome to America. 2016. It's happening. Just like this. All right, this is Art House Radio, episode number 26 still. I have no idea if our trip to El Oasis, the brief thing, will be before this or after it or never be in there. I have no idea. I haven't listened to it yet, but we got back from having lunch at El Oasis, which is a food truck close to my house here in Lansing, Michigan. And we started talking about this brewery in Battle Creek, Michigan, which is where we're from. Now, hold on a minute. Don't turn it off. Just wait a second. Hear me out. So we were talking because there's a brewery in there called Arcadia Brewing, which opened in 1996. That's pretty early in the microbrew phase. I think Bell's and maybe Weinhardt's or Sierra Nevada in the Pacific Northwest were the first breweries to open that had that microbrew taste. And I think that was maybe 94, 95. So Arcadia was right there in the beginning, having a specific a topic for conversation sometimes has a wider appeal to audiences because you can find parallels in whatever community you're in. Plus you might get to learn something about the place that made you cereal. So whatever, but it's been like an anchor for the downtown, right? It's if it were to go out, that would be a loss for the city It wouldn't be devastating, I don't think. You could get somebody else to come in there. It's a pretty good setup, beautiful building. And that area has had something called, it was in a Renaissance zone, which the state of Michigan had declared. And I think you didn't have to pay taxes if you were in that zone. So Arcadia had benefited, as other businesses have. And I could be getting this all wrong, by the way. I'm sure. So if I'm getting this all wrong,
dropping all this in-depth knowledge that isn't even true at all. Microbreweries started in 1915. The Proclamation Declaration of
Philip T. Microbrew opened his first
microbrew.
So the reason that we're bringing this up is because there's been a bit of a dispute going on, and it's been public. And if you know the area or you give a shit for some reason, it's sort of been people arguing on social media, which happens obviously. And basically the idea is that Arcadia, it seems like, it appears, could be squatting as a business. Like, they're not paying anything. This is boring even me as I'm saying this out loud. I don't know why anybody would listen to this.
Fell asleep for a second.
Yeah, I'm not. Thank you for listening to episode 26. This is I guess the point of all this is, are they taking advantage of their position? I mean, the BCU, who owns the building, is only asking them to pay half the rent, market value. And essentially Arcadia, it seems, hasn't even been doing that. So they're basically squatting, right?
That's what it sounds like. To me, like, I have a hard time, like, being on either side of this, because they both sound like they just don't give a fuck about Battle Creek at all. And what we were saying earlier is that there's actually two other locations that this brewing company is opening up in Lansing, Michigan, and in Kalamazoo, Michigan, which is already open. These are bigger cities in the area. So basically, Battle Creek, this poor, like, small, really small city or really big town, depending on how you want to look at it, money being siphoned out of that community and pumped into these other businesses in these surrounding cities, which are much bigger. So that's why it's kind of infuriating for people from Battle Creek.
It kind of reminds me of when sports teams get a new stadium and the fucking taxpayers have to pay half the bill. You know, like, if you're into sports, maybe that's a great thing, and sure, it probably pumps money in there, but what right do they have to take taxpayer money for this one specific thing? What if you didn't like Arcadia and they're not paying taxes? They're basically sucking money from a business in Battle Creek that could probably, they're not involved in downtown development anymore, but they could have back in the day. I mean, it was only recent. So there were years where Arcadia wasn't, apparently, according to what some are claiming, that they haven't paid taxes for quite some time or rent. That's money that the city could have been using to run longer bus schedules. It could have been running buses on Sundays. It could have had, you know, all kinds of childhood development programs. Who knows what they could have done with that money. I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars here that these guys didn't pay for a long time.
Yeah, there's some concrete economic reasons why I imagine why BCU is sort of being bullied into not collecting their money or not being more aggressive about getting their money. They don't want to lose this business, because who else is going to want to go in there, because this town, this city is struggling. But also because in the context of this small city in the Midwest in Michigan, who has been experiencing like this post-industrial sort of decay, as we mentioned, like this, the cereal factories being there. So it's almost like a microcosm of Detroit in certain ways, like in the way that Detroit depended on the auto industry and that, you know, began to fail. That's similar to, you know, what happened with us and cereal, but we're, you know, a city of like 55,000, 60,000 people. So anyway, in addition to the hard economic reasons, there's also like Arcadia as a symbol of like, it just makes people feel like there's something happening in Battle Creek, so they don't want to see it go. So I have a lot of thoughts on that too.
It is, I think Arcadia is probably, it's been my favorite place to go for a long time. Partially because it's downtown, the building is cool, and whatever people think of the beer there, there are some people who don't like it and some people who do, but it almost doesn't matter. They could, like you said, it's a symbol of something. It's a beacon of sorts. I mean, it gives people hope for what the city could become because it started there and it was so successful there. And I believe these guys were originally Kalamazooans, and they wanted, I've heard, again, rumors here, that they wanted to start in Kalamazoo, but the city wasn't giving them a good deal. And so Battle Creek stepped in and said, hey, we'll give you a good deal. And they came over here and started. And since then, they've opened a branch in Kalamazoo and are opening one in Lansing, which is great. I mean, I love Arcadia. I think it's good for, it'll be good for Lansing, I think. But when you're not paying rent and you're essentially squatting, if that's true that you're not paying rent, you're squatting in as a business and you're not paying rent, you're not paying repairs, you're not, who knows what else you're not paying. You're using that extra money to open locations in new cities. What if you do just decide to bail ship or jump ship on Battle Creek and go somewhere else? So then you used it. You didn't pay any taxes or you didn't pay rent. You use it to build up this franchise in Kalamazoo and in Lansing. And then what if they don't stay? It's like you contributed something to the society in the sense that you gave people entertainment and a place to meet and some sort of symbolic, gesture, but you're kind of just like, you know, a whore basically. I mean, you're just using us for, to better your business, and then you're going to leave if they do leave.
Well, the problem with businesses are that they're businesses. So like,
that's a quote. That would be the title of your book.
Business talk. No, but like for real, the problem with businesses is that they're businesses. So we look to them as like a barometer for how a city is doing. We look to them as like, we expect Arcadia to make these choices that are not about economics, even though they're a business, which is like first and foremost about economics. I'm not trying to defend what they're doing, but like maybe we just look to the wrong things and trying to like, maybe that, why is that the symbol that we look to feel good about Battle Creek? Or why is that the symbol that other people look to feel good about Battle Creek or any other business? Why do we judge it by, well, how many businesses are downtown as opposed to judging it by other things? I feel like I say this every podcast, but like, instead of like judging it by businesses, like judge it by how poor people are treated and like how many poor people, how many homeless people do you have? Like, what if we changed the way that we looked at it?
One of the things you should mention here is that you could walk 5 minutes in another direction and you'll hit the Kellogg Foundation. And if you don't know this, they're one of the largest endowed organizations. I don't know if they're nonprofit, probably, in the world. They've got billions of dollars. And Battle Creek has had, it's not a dingy downtown. It's very nice. It's put together, but there's a lot of empty buildings and a lot of them are in disrepair. And how could you sit there? This is a completely different discussion, by the way, Kellogg's and its relationship with Battle Creek, but they could step in, and they have recently buying some buildings, but they waited so long that they could also step in to this building as well and maybe figure out something like a parent sort of looking over two squabbling children and being like, all right, you get this and you get that. And like, they've got billions of dollars, but talking about how a city treats its poor, it's surrounded by neighborhoods that aren't affluent. I mean, they're struggling neighborhoods. They have, you know, they're challenging in terms of crime and, I don't know. They're just terrible situations that are around these areas that seem to get neglected whenever you talk about Kellogg's or disputes with downtown development, which gets a lot of money, by the way. It says BCU, which owns this building, and they were in charge of downtown development for a long time. It looks like they were getting about $500,000 from the Downtown Development Authority to do this.
Yeah, so it seems like we're sort of stuck between two extremes, which is like, are we going to use businesses as the, I keep just fucking throwing words in here, the metric by which that we like assess like how well our city or our community is doing. That's one extreme. And then on the other extreme is just like straight up charities, which
like are helpful in serving immediate needs, but like aren't helpful in building any sort of sustainability for people. So like, I mean, a lot of people, there are a lot of criticisms of charity work out there in that sense of like, okay, it feels good to be able to help people in the immediate sense. Yes, we need to donate water to Flint right now. Yes, we need to feed homeless people because they're hungry right now. They need water right now. But what's being done to like actually fix the root of the problem and to build sustainable communities? So it's like the extreme on one end of businesses and then like the charity or what some people call like the nonprofit industrial complex on the other end.
There are probably people, if everybody had to listen to this podcast as a law, if it was a law, there would be people who listen to it and say like, why the fuck would I go to Arcadia? I'm not paying $5-6 for a pint. Like I'm poor. I can go to the store and get like a case of hams for $6. Who cares? Give us a fuck about Arcadia. Arcadia is, it's interesting how cities, the circles that you frequent or the places that you attend on a regular basis, those only reflect you and your choices. They don't necessarily reflect the whole city. There probably are tons of people who don't go to Arcadia. They don't give a shit about it. They just rather see an improvement to the city's services. Because these sort of things, Arcadia is not paying rent. Somebody's paying this rent. Somebody's paying a bank, paying for repairs, paying taxes. And it's the taxpayer. I would imagine that that's inevitably what it comes down to. Or, I mean, BCU might be paying some of it, I guess. But if they're not paying taxes, that Renaissance Zone thing, I mean, there's got to be taxes lost in this, which means that the money that's going to keep this business afloat could have been going to improve the neighborhoods that we were talking about earlier, improvements.
Yeah, if they actually were to choose to do that with that money.
True, yeah.
I mean, that's the assumption, though, that they're now in a legal dispute over who owes some of these back taxes. Also pointed out in that article is that, weirdly, Arcadia, maybe a decade or 2 decades ago or so, sold the building that we're talking about that they're still currently in for $100 to the company who now owns it. So they used to own the building, but they sold it for $100. And the reason he sold it, the owner, same owner who owns it right now, according to the article, was that he owed so much in taxes that he just wanted to get it off his hands. So this is like a tangled mess.
Tangled. I mean, whenever you see transactions for large things that involve like a dollar or $100, you have to think like something shady is going on here. I mean, maybe not. I mean, maybe that was the deal of like you owe a lot of money, just sell it to us for nothing, and then maybe that works out good in the short term, but clearly in the long run, you've got people trying to screw each other over here.
It sounds like that situation where you're like 16 years old and your grandma like sells you a car for like a penny because she wants you to make you feel like you did something.
Who's grandma? Who's the grandma here?
Well, just your hypothetical grandma. I imagine some grandmas might do that.
Yeah, I think it gets to a larger issue too of like, in what places would this, if you didn't pay rent for 2 years, essentially, you'd get kicked out. But you're not getting kicked out in Battle Creek because they're afraid they couldn't replace you with anybody. And I think that they could with another brewery. There is another brewery in there that's really good, Territorial Brewing. I'm sure they would want to go downtown. But essentially, they're taking advantage of not just the financial situation, but the cultural situation too, because they know they're an anchor. They know that they're something that brings people to the city, or they bring in, I guess, a lot of money. But I mean, I guess they're really not bringing in a lot of money. I mean, they're paying the workers there, but if they're not paying taxes and they're not paying rent, all the money's going into Kalamazoo or to Lansing.
It might as well be a McDonald's, honestly. I mean, that's exactly what that argument is about, like those, you know, multinational sort of chains, is that they just siphon money out of communities. And that essentially sounds like what is happening right now. Like, it might on the shell look like, oh, it's a microbrewery. They have like aura-inducing hops in this beer. But if they're just taking money out and they're basically using the Battle Creek location to fund and pay taxes into other projects, like, that's essentially what it is. And it's also interesting to think about, if you haven't done this yet, since we've been talking about these three little ass cities in the middle of Michigan you probably don't know about unless you're from around here. Maybe just Google in Michigan and pull up the map so you can see Lansing, Battle Creek, and Kalamazoo. But right now we both live in Lansing, about three blocks away from each other. So it's kind of weird that Arcadia is coming, almost like they followed us here, and they're literally moving into our neighborhood in Lansing now when they were started, you know, blocks away from where we grew up in Battle Creek as well. But they're coming into a very different situation here, which is being, you know, building really old historic buildings are being bulldozed as part of a development effort by the Gillespie group or corporation, a development company. And, you know, this has ties to like the university as well, which, you know, so it's kind of changing this neighborhood in a very different direction and like catering to potentially to like student, like undergraduate students at Michigan State University.
Is everything we're talking about here, whether it's breweries or a real estate group taking over buildings and putting in condos, is all of this sort of come down to the idea that people aren't getting involved enough to, in their communities to have a say? I mean, you could, things happen and there are legal, you know, rights that people have to develop land and sell land that they own, but how much of this is kind of about people not taking control of their own neighborhoods, or are we too isolated? Are we too involved in our own lives to that we just sit back and let real estate moguls sort of carve out the landscape for us? Like we were talking about going to El Oasis, you're talking about how people and humans carve cultural paths or literal paths with where they go in the neighborhood, with where they hike, with the businesses they frequent, and they're kind of like, you know, highways, but for foot traffic or bike traffic. Is it just that people are not in control, or they're not taking the initiative to get involved more in what happens in their communities?
I mean, who fucking has time for that? Like everybody like in this neighborhood is like going to work. Like I barely have time to, like, I feel like I spend a significant amount of time paying attention and I barely have any time to like do anything about it. Like, I mean, I feel like I help maybe spread some information about what's happening, but like, that's not really going to do anything in like on its own, you know? So like, what are people supposed to do, really?
Well, we could always post it on Facebook. That always seems to get things done. We all do that and then nothing ever happens. Although it does bring awareness, and sometimes people will go to events and stuff because of that, but it seems like the percentage is just much lower than it should be. And I don't know what say people would have in Arcadia coming into Lansing on the east side, or Arcadia leaving or staying in Battle Creek, but if we just go back to Battle Creek, which is this place where it doesn't seem like it parallels Lansing in some ways, in that nobody's ever just hanging out downtown. You always seem like people are, Kellogg's workers are around downtown and they're there. They don't live there. And the politicians are downtown Lansing during the week, and at 5 or 6 o'clock, it all shuts up and everybody goes home. But people are, I was thinking over the summer that people just don't hang out enough. Like, why not just go downtown and hang out? I mean, isn't that how bigger cities probably started, that you had a sort of a group of people who loved to be out and about and communicate, and they were busy and stuff, but they found time to communicate with their neighbors or their community, or they go to the Allen Street Market over on Kalamazoo Street, or, you know, they just find ways to, some communities seem to be able to pull together. It happens like in Portland or in Austin, like for some reason, some communities are able to find a way to come together and others struggle with it for some reason.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, to totally repeat myself again, is like, why does everything have to be based on like making or spending money?
That's a big one, I think, making or spending money. Cause I mean, what can you do for free anymore?
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be like more low budget stuff that the city can do. Like, I don't know. Like,
or is it just like our fascination with spending money as representing like we're doing something. What? Why can't we just go to a park and like, everybody, let's just work on this garden. Why don't we just make, gardens are free. You can plant those. I mean, you have to pay for the materials and stuff, but you don't have to pay anything to go to enjoy it once you've got it.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. It seems like we've got this idea of what doing something means, and it could just be having a listening party. People have art shows in their houses, and you know, you don't charge any money. You could go to a park. You could just organize an event that was free. Like, you could just try and get as many bicyclists as you want, and then block and like, hey, let's everybody ride up to the Capitol, or hey, let's everybody ride up to wherever, and we'll get an ice cream, and which is buying something. But you wouldn't have to do that. I mean, you could just like, you could come up with some sort of reason to have something to do. Somehow money's got tied into this idea that it has to be spent or received in order for an entertainment transaction to actually occur, also known as occur.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things actually about being in either a small or a middle-sized city is that I was thinking about this today because for a few years I lived in Richmond, Virginia, which to a lot of people wouldn't seem like a big city, but to me it was like a kind of big city. It was like 200,000 or 300,000 people, something like that. And I was thinking that I didn't really organize a whole lot of events while I was there because it seemed like there were things going on. But then I moved back to Lansing and I've been organizing lots of events because it seems like you can have more of an impact. There's more of a need for it. Like, it means more to more people when you do that. So I think that that's honestly like the only way that stuff is going to change is if like people do it. Like, we've been talking about having where we're recording this podcast right now in Troy's house, an art show in here, and just opening it up, you know,
yeah,
to people in the neighborhood. And it's free and people can donate if they want, whatever. But like, you know, so the only way around it is to literally, like, even though it's hard to find the time sometimes, is to like organize around it, really.
I wonder how much time plays a role. I hate clock time. I've talked about it on this podcast a lot because it feels like there's a lot of pressure when you've got, it's always in the back of your mind. You got to go to work. You got to come home. You got to go this. You got to meet this person there. And when you do that, things start to get organized, and then you start to prioritize between what is going to help me in life have less stress, and I need to work more in order to pay off the bills or the debt or whatever. And we sort of forget sometimes that just going out into your backyard and smoking a joint and laying in the grass and looking up at the sky has benefit. Because you might come up with ideas, you might save yourself a lot of money in the future from strokes or heart attacks, you know, or which you then you can't work, or you have all these medical bills or something like that. I mean, it just seems like there's a battle for leisure versus between leisure and work, and leisure is getting its ass kicked and has for a long time. Comment on that.
Let's take some leisure right now, Troy. Do you take leisure? Or did I just make that up?
You make leisure. No, I don't know. I don't know what the actual
bake leisure.
Leisure time. What is it, a noun?
Leisure. Leisurely.
You can walk leisurely. You can
leisure.
You can leisure. I don't know. That's the point, is that you, I don't know that we value relaxation and finding ways, like we were talking about, to enjoy the world that we're in, whatever the fuck this is, without a wallet in our pocket or without a phone, which a phone is different because it's communication, but I just mean that you can go and take a walk around your neighborhood and you can end up talking to neighbors or whatever. And that could be extremely fulfilling rather than say, we go out to eat at an Ethiopian restaurant right now and spend a bunch of money. That's, you're almost paying for that interaction. You're not really, it's not like it's a terrible thing, but they're welcoming you and you're not entirely sure if it's genuine. It probably is friendly, but you're also giving them money, so they kind of have to. Whereas if you have a conversation with a neighbor, it's just kind of like whether they like you or not.
Yeah, I kind of had a moment like that this past weekend when one of our good friends, is her birthday, and she asked if she could just have people over to our house because her house, she lives in an apartment with roommates and stuff. And there was like way too many people in our tiny, tiny house. But in a way, it was like way better than if we had a mansion and everybody was just all spread out and like had their own couch and shit. Because people were having to like work together, like how are we even gonna like all be in this space? And it was like part of like the, so like it created a new social dynamic that was actually way better than like if we had actually had more space. Like, so in that instance, like having, yeah, trying to avoid the cliche, having less actually was more.
He didn't avoid it. He went straight for it. That's what this has all been a run up to, the cliches. No, I think that's right. You learn, and it sounds cliche to think that having something at a house with maybe a home baked cake or whatever, like, is not as more as means way more than going out to this restaurant and getting like a $40 piece of chocolate mousse. I don't know if it's a piece of mousse.
Obviously, you're not spending lots of money on desserts.
Yeah. Like, I like, how much is this piece of mousse? Like, what?
Piece of mousse.
Mousse piece. I have this chocolate mousse piece.
I'll just have the whole mousse pie.
But that stuff means more. Like, if you take somebody on a picnic for their birthday and it caught, you know, you spend a little bit of money on food, whatever, that. We're getting into obvious situations here, but it parallels the community in a way, in that you have to find maybe ways to connect that don't involve like people emptying their pockets. And then they end up finding value in that time rather than time that they would spend watching Netflix or being at work even, or, you know, applying for jobs. I'm not discouraging people from applying for jobs, but it's easy to get into that habit of the glow of your laptop and all of its allure, because it does tend to seem to eventually come down to finding a job that's going to take all the time away for fun things like that, like in being in the community and all that.
Yeah, it's always the dynamic. It's like the only time that I have money is like when I'm working so much that I don't have time to enjoy it.
Seems like a pretty good design by the overlords. If you don't have money, you know, then it seems like you don't have any opportunities to have anything fun, to have anything entertaining. But I'm not sure where we're going with this anymore. We started out talking about breweries, and now we're talking about leisure time. Somehow, somebody connect these threads.
Why are we finger painting right now?
I'm going to record us finger painting.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening. Art House Radio is brought to you by people and institutions who might pay for ads, but mostly people who go to our website, arthouse43.com or troymeetsworld.com. They click on donations or donate, and then they make a donation. That's why you click on donate, because it leads to donations. And you want to spend some of the money to help keep this project going. It's an ongoing thing. There are no guarantees in life, except death. And that could happen to this show if you don't give me money. That's not a threat. I'm not trying to blackmail you. I'm just saying that I have to pay bills, and I would love to continue to do this show. But, you know, it gets hard when you don't have money and you spend a lot of time doing something that you love. Even if you love it, it gets difficult. And that's why I beg you for change every day that I do this. So please, $2. How about $3? Do I hear 10? 20. How about this? Let's start a movement. #arthouse20. Give me $20. Just make a one-time donation on a credit card that you're not going to pay off anyway. You know, just add it to the pile. And, you know, if you do that and you send me an interesting quote or you put the quote on the receipt, I will read it. I don't care what it is. I promise you, oh God, I don't know if I want to do this. I promise you I will read it as long, I won't read things that would get me criminally indicted. Let's just say that. I'm not going to read that. But if you want to write something that's a poem, or you want to make me sound like an asshole, not a criminal, but an asshole, there's a big difference, I will read it on the air. But you have to make the donation. There is no, don't say like, here's my thing and I'll get it to you next week. I get paid on Tuesdays or whatever. I don't give a fuck when you get paid. I need to get paid. You got my money? Huh? You got my money? I apologize. I don't know where that came from. I'm very appreciative of those who listen. Thank you for listening. It's important. It means a lot. You know, creative projects aren't free. So any donation you could give would be greatly appreciated. And I will just love you forever. How about that? That's a pretty good deal. You know, it may make a donation and then you're going to get eternal love. I mean, what else do you want? Do you want me to come over and massage your feet? Because that's not going to happen. I think love trumps, Donald Trump's foot massage. I'm not touching your feet. Okay, let's just get that out of the way. I am your host, Troy Ramos, and I am doing the best I can. And if that's not good enough, and I know that it is, because some of you are writing to me, and some of you I take a long time to respond to. I'm very sorry, very sorry. I'm an asshole, but I want you to know that I read them, and it warms my heart, and I am trying to keep, as one person put it, an analog mind. Something else, but it was a wonderful thing this person said. I'm not sure what an analog mind is. I got to look it up. But thank you, sir, for those comments. They were wonderful. Go to Arthouse 43 on Facebook, post on my wall, at Spanish Peanuts, at Arthouse 43 on Twitter, troymeetsworld.com. Send me a message. If in case you forgot, I'd like to hear about your interactions with classical music. You can go back to earlier in the episode. I basically just want to hear about your first interaction with classical music, even if you want to just make a new one and you listen to it and then just post on the wall of Facebook for Arthouse 43. I can't talk. I'm very tired. Or send me a private message that I can read out loud on the air, and I'd love to hear it. Hate it, love it, whatever. Just send it to me. All right? Please, people, remember, clock time doesn't matter. Your job matters, but it doesn't really matter. Your bills are the gun to your head. Let it go. It's fine. Smoke a joint. Drink a beer. Relax. Just breathe. All right? Just breathe. Like that 90s song. Just let it go. You got to just let it go. Slow and low. That's the tempo. Okay? All right, guys? All right, until next time, friends.